So, Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, as we read your word today, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts, that you would reveal anything in our lives that needs to be dealt with. And Lord, so have your way in this service, Lord, that people will not hear my voice, but your voice. And give us a teachable spirit to you, Lord. Help us to apply your word so that we become more mature in you and to reflect the life of Christ to others in this world. Lord, that we would be desiring to be your hands and feet. That, Lord, that we would be that lamp on the hillside, shining for you so that you'd be glorified in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we read in Romans, this is Paul talking to the Jewish people. And he challenged them in certain ways. And so today, as we read in Romans chapter 2, verse 25 to 29, it says, "For the circumcision is indeed profitable if," right, "if you keep the law." How is it easy to keep the law? It's being, we can't even keep the law about doing the speed limit. So if you keep the law, and who was the only one who kept the law? Jesus. And what happens if you would break the law? You would have to give a sacrifice. Go to the priest at the time to give a sacrifice, right? To atone for your sins. What do we do for Jesus right now if we break? If we sin, what do? We repent. Get right with God, right? To be in the right standing of God. So your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Circumcision. So he's saying that your circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. He's talking to the Jewish people because they believed if they were, because they're circumcised. I'll get to it. Romans chapter 2, verse 25. So, "For the circumcision indeed is profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision." So they're no longer circumcised. He's given this point of pointing out something to them. "Therefore, if uncircumcision man could keep the righteous requirements of the law," so that would be like Gentiles. So if a Gentile could keep the laws, right, will not the uncircumcision be counted as circumcision, to be made, revealed, be holy? And will not the physical and uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with the written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor circumcision that which is outward is in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is in one inwardly. The circumcision is that of the heart. So he's talking about circumcision. They were given the law. Well, in the time, the Jewish people had to be circumcised to stand out. He's saying if you were a Jewish man, you had to be circumcised. That was your outwardly to say that you were a Jew. Right? But now he's saying, because you cannot keep the Ten Commandments, because they can't. In order to keep the Ten Commandments, even if you kept the Ten Commandments for 80-some years, if you're righteous and holy, you did everything by the book, you didn't do anything wrong, but let's say at age 70, you broke one law. All that you did was for nothing. So that'd be kind of like, I need to do the law to the very letter. And if I don't, then I was all worthless. All my good deeds was worthless. Sometimes we like to do good deeds. So, but if you look at what he's trying to say to them, he's trying to say, you depend on your circumcision for atonement, for being your circumcision you depend on for your salvation. But it is, the circumcision is supposed to be of the heart. So God goes to the heart. So the rabbis would teach the Jewish people in that time, says, this is why they believe this. This is why Paul is telling. Because what the rabbis have said in the oral law, your oral traditions, he says, this is what they believe. This is why he's telling them. You got to think differently. No circumcised Jew man will see hell. This is what they believed. Right? The rabbis were teaching the Jewish people that they didn't need Christ. They didn't need the redemption of Christ. All they depended on was their circumcision. This is what they believed. This is why Paul is hitting the nail on the head. Okay? So this is what their beliefs are. So no circumcised Jewish man will see hell. Circumcision saves you from hell. God swore to Abraham that no one who was circumcised would be sent to hell. Abraham sits at the gate before of hell and never allows uncircumcised Israelites to enter into hell. So Abraham is always at the gate. This kind of sounds like Catholic. Who's at the gate for Catholics? St. Peter. But he's not. So that here they are believing that circumcision saves them. He's saying, no. When God gave the law was supposed to point that we need a Savior. That no man can ever uphold the Ten Commandments. Because we all have broken the law. And God has placed the law on our hearts. So when we know that when we sin, we would repent and get right with God. So obviously, this was a big deal to the Jewish people. And it has become a false assurance of their faith. And I think sometimes, what do we do to prove that we are a born-again believer? We get baptized. That's our outwardly confession of our faith. Do we depend on our baptism for our salvation? No. It's an outwardly sign of our heart being transformed and renewed. It's an outward confession of faith that said, the Lord Jesus has transformed my heart. I have surrendered my life to him. I'm willing to live and die for him because he's transformed my heart. It's an outwardly profession of our faith. Circumcision was supposed to be for the Jewish people that they were set aside as a nation holy unto God, that they were his chosen people. And that they were supposed to be the people sharing the truth of the gospel to all in the world. They were supposed to be set aside. Just like us, we are set aside for God. But they depended on their circumcision for their salvation. And Paul said, no, don't do that. You're missing the point. Because even Abraham said, we'll read it. Okay? So Genesis 7, so 17. I don't know which of the boys grabbed it. Genesis 17, verse 9 to 11.
And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep, between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you.
It's a covenant. When you make a covenant, it's everlasting. To be set apart from everyone else. So the Jewish people were supposed to be set apart for God. We are supposed to be set apart for God. I'm hoping this makes sense. Hopefully it all ties together. So man recognizes that sinfulness of his flesh. And circumcision was a symbolic of the need to remove the flesh from man. We have a sinful nature. Because at times we do sin. And he says we're supposed to repent and say, Lord, I desire to die from this. I don't want to live a sinful nature, but I want to put on the new nature. So when we come to Christ, he wants us to put on the new nature and die to the flesh, to be renewed in the spirit. And as we say, Lord, I want to put on this new man. Lord, I want to serve you wholeheartedly, to love you wholeheartedly, to die for you wholeheartedly. And then the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of God will manifest in our lives. And that also then reveals to people in the world that we have been set apart, that God is working in our lives, that he's transformed our hearts so that we live differently, we speak differently, we behave differently. Not because of a law, because it's on our heart. It's something that we desire to do. Be like, if you get married, and you get a marriage certificate, and you always adore the marriage certificate, but never adore the wife or the husband. You'd be like, I love this marriage certificate. But you never get to be in love with your wife or your husband. He wants us to know him deeply. He wants us to love him deeply. He wants us not to be like, Lord, I want to live for you, to have this desire for you and nobody else. And I think sometimes we forget that God wants to circumcise our hearts, to take away that hardness, to take away that sinful nature, those sinful desires, right? When we come to know him as our Lord and Savior, he gives us a new heart, gives us new desires. So even as a Jewish people, they would be looking upon themselves because they say, oh, I'm circumcised. I've been chosen. Abraham was chosen by God, so then I get in because we're the chosen people. They identified who they were because of the past, but not because of God working in their heart. Does that make sense? I'm a follower of Christ because God has transformed my heart. I'm not a believer because I go to church every Sunday. I'm not a believer because I read the Word of God. But I surrender my life wholeheartedly, and I want to be transformed. And my mind to be renewed. See the difference? I pray that we understand that God wants to transform our hearts. He wants to deal with things in our lives. He wants to set you free from things. He wants to say, come to me. Man, I'm doing this and I'm calling you. Run to me. You know what? He runs actually to us. And he's like, I want you. He wants you to know him intimately. And I think even when we go and break bread today, it's actually an intimate time that we're remind ourselves God wants an intimate relationship with you and I. It's not just it's remembering all that Jesus has done, but it's also remembering that he wants to have an intimate time with us. So what's Romans 4, verse 9 to 12? Because this is going to tie into... Okay, Elijah.
Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We've been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And you received circumcision as a sign a seal of righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not circumcised, in order that righteousness might be credited to them. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised.
It's by faith. They were supposed to enter in by faith. Abraham believed God by faith. Right? And so, God did not justify Abraham because he was circumcised. God justified Abraham because he had faith. Right? The Ten Commandments were given as a moral law written for all. And he's placed that on our hearts. So that we know that we need, when we break them, we need to go to the Lord Jesus. That I can't do it, I can't get right on my own. That I need the Lord Jesus to be healed, forgiven, as he forgives us. We repent and confess. 1 John 1:9. We're supposed to confess our sins to him. And he freely forgives us when we sin. Even as believers, we do sin. And God wants us to run to him, even when we blow it. Sometimes we think, oh, I blew it really bad today. I'm just going to go run and hide. And often we do. Sometimes we think, I have to pay a certain price in order to get right with God. But God says, you know what? Come to me. Repent. And I will forgive you. And I will choose not to remember your sins any longer. But I will heal you. I will give you my desires. So that you would walk after my character. So it's God. But the Jewish people at that time, not all of them, because Paul was a Jewish man himself. He received Christ as the Lord and Savior. So there was a lot of Jewish people. The early church, the first believers were Jewish people. They weren't Gentiles. And so here, even in Acts, it talks about even when Gentiles became believers, the Jewish people were saying, well, you have to be circumcised too. And they had, do you remember that? But he says, no, you don't. It's the heart. It's always been about the heart. Even the Ten Commandments, Jesus even said, if I am, I lust that. Like, Ten Commandments says, you commit adultery, and the law had to be physical. Now it's like, if I think lustfully of a woman, I have already committed adultery. It deals with the heart. If I have bitterness, resentment towards somebody, right? Now it's like, if I think, have resentment and bitterness in my heart towards them, I've committed murder. So it's, the law is here, now grace is up here. It's a higher standard. So it's like, don't take God's grace in vain. It's like, he wants us to deal with our hearts. It's a heart issue. And so, I have Galatians 3, and verse 10. It says, I forgot to give that to the boys. For as many as are of works of the law and are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God. Evident. For just as the just shall live by faith, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. For Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. That is, the blessing of Abraham came upon the Gentiles in Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's faith in Christ. So what's Deuteronomy 10? We have that one. Deuteronomy 10, 15. Is it Elijah again? No? Did I give that one to anybody? I have it. So Deuteronomy 10, chapter 10, verse 15 to 17. I have it. The next one is going to be Jeremiah 4, 3 to 4, but I'll read this one. So Deuteronomy 5, 10, verse 15 to 17 says, Yet on your fathers did the Lord set affection to love them. He chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples all this day. So circumcise your heart. You stiffen your neck no longer. For the Lord your God is the God of gods, small g, and the Lord, capital L, of lords, the great, the mighty, and the awesome God, who does not show partiality nor take a bribe. So Moses was talking to them, the Jewish people at the time, after they've been circumcised. He's trying to correct them, saying it's not about the circumcision, it's about the heart. Jeremiah talks to them about their condition as well. And so we have Jeremiah 4. Did I get this to you guys? Okay, Jeremiah 4, 3 to 4.
For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings.
He's dealing with the heart. And so then Paul wrote in Galatians 6. He does Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 12.
It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh.
That makes sense, eh? For as many desire to do good, shown in the flesh. It's easy to, on the outward, look really good, behave really good in public, right? It's easy to do 2 hours at church and look good. But when we are at home, when we're with people that we're comfortable with, sometimes they really see the worst of us. And so sometimes we could put on a good show. But he really wants us not to do that, but to live a life that our hearts are transformed. Does that make sense? It's like, Lord, I can't do it. As much as we want to live that way, it's hard. It's like, Lord, I want to live and walk the talk. I want to live a life that honors you. I desire that. Lord, I don't want to be that hypocrite. But Lord, I want to truly trust you. You, the community, when you live in community, people see the best of you and the worst of you. Right? I think in every other culture, everybody, families are together and they see the best and worst of everybody. I think in Canada and US, people live separate lives. We come together on certain days. It's easy. But really, the early church, they met daily to live and breathe together. They ate, break food, they ate together. They lived life. And so they were able to get into each other's life to pray for them and encourage them. And so don't hide. If we need help, we ask for help. If we need prayer, we ask for prayer. Don't let pride get in the way of asking for prayer and for brothers and sisters to come alongside to encourage each other. Right? Don't let pride get in the way. We are walking through this life. It's a journey. We're not going to be perfect until the day we meet Christ in the air. We're going to have times where we're going to stumble, we're going to fall. Times that we're going to do things wrong, or say the wrong thing. We repent. Say, Lord, forgive me. Thank you, Lord, that you're revealing the heart of my, the condition of my heart. He reveals the condition of our hearts, the things that need to be dealt with in our hearts. But are we willing to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with the things in our hearts? So Romans 2:25. Actually, I think I gave that to somebody, didn't I?
For circumcision indeed is of value if you obey the law, but if you break the law, your circumcision becomes uncircumcision. So if a man who is uncircumcised keeps the precepts of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision?
Yeah. So Paul said your outward act has actually become the very thing that keeps you from getting the heart, your heart right before God. Because of their uncircumcised hearts. So your physical circumcision prevents your heart circumcision. Who cares if you're circumcised, if you're willing to reject God's laws? Does that make sense? So we say that we're circumcised, but are we willing to break God's laws willingly? So sometimes we'll say, God says, in his word, he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And sometimes we struggle with that. Because at times we do not keep his laws, we do not keep his statutes, and sometimes we take his grace in vain. And so, even when I was thinking about this, it's like, Lord, I know how I have taken your grace in vain at times. Lord, I know that I have done things that I regret. I think we all have done things that we regret doing as believers. But he's also showing us when we do that, God doesn't make us sin. He gives us a choice. Right? We make that decision. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit says, don't do that. We're like, but you know, it looks really good. I kind of just want to give a taste of it. Right? The Holy Spirit is in you to be your guide, to teach you, to lead you. And so when we are willingly going to sin, then I question at times when I do that, do I really love God? Because if I really love God, I wouldn't do that. I don't know if anybody's else in the same boat as I am. Right? But it's like, Lord, forgive me. Lord, give me a heart that wants to love you, to not be willingly sin against you. We've been singing that this morning, to actually transform our hearts, to be more circumcised, to put off the sinful nature of the flesh, and to put on the new nature that God has given us. It's a battle within our own lives. If you want to be truthful, it's a battle. It's not an easy life. And that's why community as believers is so important. The danger is when we think that I can do it on my own, then becomes based works righteousness. I could do this, Lord. I could do this. Actually, I think we leave the Lord out of it. I could do this. That's based work. That's based righteousness. We think that we can do it. When God brings us to a place that we cannot run away from him any longer, he's revealing that how much we do need him. Lord, I thank you that you brought me to this place that I recognize that I need you more than I ever did before. And tomorrow we're going to recognize that we need him more than we did before. And the following day we're going to recognize that we need him more than ever before. It's an utter dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why he's long-suffering, why he's merciful, why his grace abounds, why his mercies are new and refreshed every single day, because we need them. He's revealing the condition of our hearts and says, you know what? Let me transform your hearts. The Holy Spirit transforms our hearts. He transforms us so that we become more like Christ. Don't run off. Allow the Holy Spirit to work. There is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. Satan will condemn you. He says, look at you, you hypocrite. It makes you feel really bad. Stop listening to Satan. Listen and abide what the Word of God says. Lord, help me. On my phone, I have these prayers I've been praying. It's just like, Lord, help me to believe what your Word says and to apply your Word to my life. Satan will try to make you feel guilty and miserable and trying to push you off and say, Look how bad you're doing it. You're doing it again. But come back to the Lord. Lord, I repent of this heart. Lord, I repent of willfully of disobeying you. Eventually, I might say that word correctly. But Lord, give me a willing heart to be obedient to your word. Transform my heart. Romans 10:3, it says, oh, did I get that, somebody? No? Okay, so Romans 10:3, it says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Are we willing to seek and submit to God's righteousness in our lives? A choice that we have to make. Can it for you? It's a personal choice. So what is God looking at? The heart. It's always been about the heart. In 1 Samuel 6, chapter 7, the second part of it, they were choosing, Samuel is going, and they're going to pick a new king, right? Because Saul sinned, and so Samuel is going out, and Samuel in verse 7 it says, but he goes second part is like, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not. So Samuel's looking at the sons, and David, well, he says, do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I refuse him, for the Lord does not see as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. When God was looking, choosing a new king for Israel, he was looking at the person's heart. Not how big and mighty and strong he was. He was looking at the heart. Colossians 2. Somebody? No? I couldn't remember what I gave out, so sorry. So Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. 11 to 12 says, in him you are also circumcised, and with circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ,
Christ circumcises our hearts. Doesn't that make you feel a lot better? But it, all we are doing is surrendering to Christ. And the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts and transforming our hearts. Verse 12 says, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith. Through faith. Not by works. Through faith. In the working of God, who raised him from the dead. So God has always wanted more from his people than just external conformity. And sometimes we'll say, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? How can I achieve this? Right? Sometimes we are goal-oriented. Give me a task and I'll do it. But he wants us to conform because of our love for him and our desire from our heart to want to live for him. It's of the heart. Not what we're doing for him. What I do for him is out of love and admiration for him. I go and help the people who are homeless. I help these people or that person or help feed people because of my love for Christ. And I want to do that because it's my love for them. I want to pray for the lost because it's the love of Christ in me that compels me. And I want to be like my Lord, to pray for the lost. Because we don't want any sinners, anybody who does not know Christ to go to hell. Because we're to be the compassion. God wants... He died for the whosoever. He always wanted the Jewish people from the beginning, right? This is why Paul was hidden so hard. It's like, it's always from the beginning. It was the heart. Not because you've been circumcised. It's not because you've been a Jewish, you're a Jew, and that you're set apart. I think Jew means praiser. They were supposed to be praisers of God. Right? But they were about the law. Not all of them. Because eventually a lot of them came to know, and they're still coming to know the Lord. That's why we continue to pray that God remove the veil off their hearts. So they could actually see the truth of the gospel. Because God's not done with the Jewish people yet. Nor has the church replaced them. So that's why God is not concerned with the circumcision of the flesh. It's about the heart. Even in the Old Testament, God's priority was the spiritual condition of the heart. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Circumcise your hearts, you men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem. For my wrath will break out like a burning fire because of the evil you have done. Jeremiah 4:4. So both testaments focus on the need of repentance, inward change in order to be right with God. In Jesus, the law has been fulfilled. He fulfilled it. Law still holds value today. When somebody says, because how would you not, if you didn't know the law, or somebody showed you the law, then how did you know that you need a Savior? Because all of us still break, even before you were a believer, you still broke the Ten Commandments. And that points that you need a Savior, because nobody's good enough to earn salvation. The Ten Commandments says, have I committed murder? Have I lied? Steal, blaspheme against God's word. It leads you so that you know you need a Savior. You're never good enough. So he has never abolished the law. The law is still relevant today. Through Jesus, a person can be made right with God and receive eternal life. What's Ephesians 2, verse 8? Ephesians 2, verse 8. Want to stand up? I know you'll find that's not shy. Verse 9.
Not of words, it's in English.
Boast. Amen. Well, verse 10, it says, For we are his workmanship. Sorry. I didn't tell you to do verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Philippians 3. I'll finish with this before we take communion. Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. It's the circumcision of our hearts. Who worship the God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the eighth day, a stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning the zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul would just give his resume, how righteous and holy, how righteous he was, not holy, but righteous, because of the law. But this is what things are gained to me? What things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him. That's my prayer of the verse 10. This is my prayer, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. If by any means I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Not that I have already attained or already perfected, but I press on. That'd be a prayer. Lord, I want to press on, that I may be lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have comprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, reaching forward to the things which are ahead. So Lord, I pray that as we let go of the things of the past, Lord, that we would let go of those things, that we would press forward with you, to lean in, trust on you, to surrender to you, to yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to allow your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, to transform our hearts, to deal with the garbage that's there. But Lord, let us be reminded that you have given us a new heart, new desires, new purpose. So Lord, help us to trust you, to
depend on you, to grow in you, to lean on you, forgetting what's in the past, but dealing with it. Lord, help us to deal in areas where we need to deal with what we need to deal with. Lord, thank you that you will help us to go forward, to rely on you, and to be obedient to you, to your word. Give us circumcised hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to have prayer or communion, and also we have time of yeah, you can get the so there's the four amigos. You get, well, there's four right there. Oh, I only need three.